Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolenk, a professor at Ave Maria School of Law, the father of five grown children, and the author of inspirational fiction for teens and adults. On that note, by the way, keep your eyes open for the March 4th release of my latest middle grade novel, Penny and the Stolen Chalice. It's the story of a sixth grade girl and a boy who are working to solve a mystery of who stole the chalice from the altar, and the fire alarm goes off during a school mass. So that one's a lot of fun coming out from our Sunday visitor. But today we're speaking with one of my co-authors at CatholicTeenBooks.com, T.M. Gawet, about writing on sensitive issues for teens. My guest today is T.M. Gawet. She is a wife, a homeschool mom, and a fiction novelist for teens, including the award-winning Faith and Kung Fu series. She was born in Africa and raised in London. She now lives on a small farm in New England with her husband, where she homeschools their four children. She's also a former blogger for Project Inspired, and her pro-life novel, For Eden's Sake, was actually endorsed by evangelist Alveda C. King. TM, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
I am doing very well. So glad to have you on here. Finally getting a chance to talk to you about some of your writing. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit more about your background and maybe how you decided to start writing for teens.
I've always been interested in writing. I used to write stories a lot when I was a kid. I loved to read. I read constantly. Pretty much been reading and writing all my life. Writing for teens, I think, came about when I became a mom. As a parent, I was interested in finding fiction that I felt was appropriate for teens and young adults. And I think that my whole idea of writing and the kind of fiction that I was looking for, I was difficult to find. And so if I was going to be any help in anything, it would be to try and produce some kind of fiction that Catholic teens would be able to read.
So you and I are both members of CatholicTeenBooks.com, and I know you mentioned Catholic Teens a second ago. Can you address a little bit about that? How much do you get into actual faith explicit issues in your books?
Well, I think my first novel, The Destiny of Sunshine Ranch, I think that a lot of Christians have found it to be an enjoyable story. It relates to Catholicism only in the sense that there are certain elements in there. You know, we have character praying the rosary. I think that's pretty much the only Catholic, you know, element that's in that story. A lot of my stories afterwards include more sacraments, I think. I don't want to stray away from that. I do want more people to read my stories. I want more than Catholics, but I pretty much continue to include Catholic elements because these are the lifestyles, these are the people who my characters are. That's what they do. That's how they live it. So it's not something that I can ignore, and it's not something that I can keep out of the stories.
And I mentioned that we're both part of Catholic Teen Books. Maybe just for any of our listeners who are not familiar with that website, can you talk a little bit about that and how you got involved with CTB?
Catholic Teen Books is a lay organization made up of authors. We have 16 authors right now. And basically, we feature our writings, our stories, to offer Catholic teens a selection of fiction that's out there that's good for families who are looking for exciting and adventurous stories, but that encompass the Catholic faith and that are, what I would say, appropriate for Catholic teens to be reading. Teens and young adults can be very influenced a lot by fiction. And so we offer a variety of stories with different genres, you know, from dystopian to contemporary to science fiction, historical fiction, so on and so forth. And I just wanted to be a part of something that could make a change and could really strengthen the faith of Catholic teens.
We're going to talk about some of the themes that you like to write about for teens here in a few minutes, but you've got 4 books in your Faith and Kung Fu series, and I wanted you to, you know, address that a little bit. You know, that seems to be your most active series. Faith and Kung Fu sounds very martial artsy.
Well, it can be martial artsy. The main character, Gabriel Livingstone, is actually into martial arts. He's into Kung Fu, and he's also very strong in his Catholic faith. And it begins with Gabriel meeting Tana Rose, who is this young film star. They come together basically because Tana Rose's mother knows Gabriel Livingstone's mother. They knew each other in college. And Tana, I guess, has gotten so crazy in her Hollywood lifestyle that her mother, who happens to be her manager, feels that she needs to take some time. She needs to take a break, get out of the spotlight, because she's just drinking a lot and just behaving really badly. And it's just not looking good for her image. So her mother says that she's sending her to Gabriel's house for her to relax and calm down and just, you know, get herself back together. Gabriel and Tana Rose are completely opposite characters. And the dynamic between them is kind of comedic, just seeing her behavior and how she acts compared to his lifestyle and how he lives, which is very, you know, laid back. He's a mama's boy. In the first story, the Freeing Tana Rose story, we see the struggles that Tana Rose is going through. You know, she's got this outside facade that she uses to cover her inward struggles. She's created this whole facade where she has to pretend to be someone who she's not. But you have this strong character, Gabriel, who's strong in his faith, loves the Lord, is not afraid of saying it at all, does not care what anyone thinks about him, doesn't care if they call him a Jesus freak. He does not care. There are no pretenses. Tana Rose is the opposite. She's got a lot to hide. Eventually, she crumbles because she can't hold on to this life that she's created or has been created for her and the pressures. She ends up going to Gabriel looking for help. And he instills within her this knowledge that she just never recognized. She never knew, like, she knew who God was. She's a cradle Catholic. Her mom is too, but they don't live it. But she is introduced to God. She's introduced to the faith. She's introduced to this world that can actually strengthen her and give her this sense of belonging that she never had. So Gabriel shows that to her. That's the faith part. The Kung Fu part is almost like this physical aspect of the faith where it gives you this discipline, because Kung Fu itself is not just about martial arts. It's just about learning something and just being good at it. That's kind of like the antithesis of what Kung Fu really is. And, you know, the martial arts part is just, you know, part of that discipline. Gabriel uses the Kung Fu as a way of bringing him closer to God, because a lot of the times when he feels the pressure, or if he feels stressed, or he needs to just bring himself closer to God, he will use that Kung Fu to kind of calm his mind and then put him in the right balanced state where he can then open himself up to God and calm himself and be with the Lord. But he uses that to help Tanner as well. He shows Tanner the how he uses Kung Fu to calm her and bring her into a more balanced state where she can then pray and give herself to the Lord in that sense.
When you're writing a lot of your books, they are for a teen audience, and I know you don't shy away from some of the more sensitive issues or themes that our teens are dealing with. So maybe first, could give us an idea of some of the types of themes you like to explore.
Well, some of the themes that I cover or have covered so far, for example, the second book in the Faith and Kung Fu series is Saving Faith. And Saving Faith has a character, Faith, and she is one of Gabriel's friends. She's strong in her faith. but she's weakening in her faith. She sees the world around her and she sees what she's missing and she wants to be a part of that. And she feels like her faith is holding her back. So she tries to fight back and push away. And you see her pushing away from some of her, you know, faith friends, faithful friends, and almost speaking for the world because that's where she wants to be. The person who helps her pull away from her faith will be Christian. Christian is introduced in Saving Faith. And Christian is just lost in the world. He drinks, he parties, he does all the stuff. He's kind of a womanizer. In that story, we see that kind of struggle where you're trying to struggle with your faith and struggle with the world. And a lot of teens, a lot of Christians struggle with their faith. And I wanted to show what it was like. While I was a cradle Catholic and grew up as a Catholic, I wasn't really brought into the faith. We didn't go to church on a regular basis. I've seen that kind of that world where, you know, where people are trying to struggle with their faith. And I wanted to incorporate that and show that, you know, just because you're a Catholic or you're a Christian, that it's not an easy thing to do. There is this constant battle. You're constantly battling with these temptations of the world. And temptation is another struggle that I include in my stories. You know, you're constantly seeing that what other people can do and the freedoms that they seem to have, where they can just do what they want and go where they want and just, you know, it's something that I feel that a lot of Christian teens feel they're missing out on stuff because they're not in the world. And so I wanted to include that in my stories. In the third book, we have guarding Aaron, and Aaron is a bullied child, and he's constantly bullied in school. He's beaten up. So bullying is one of these, another struggle that a lot of kids go through, you know, this debilitating thing that, you know, that they just feel like completely worthless and where they're treated like they're nothing. They have to deal with this constant going into, you know, maybe going to school. In this case, this is what Aaron had to do, go into school day after day after day and deal with this. And it's just an awful thing that, you know, a lot of kids have to go through or are forced to go through. And then in the last story in the Faith and Kung Fu series is Loving Gabriel. Actually, the theme throughout the whole Faith and Kung Fu series is purity, remaining chaste and just having to deal with that in a world full of temptation of people just don't even think about being chaste anymore. Don't even think about purity, you know, in the way that they dress or the way that they act or in the way that they have different relationships. And it is a big struggle, especially for Catholic teens who are trying to stay in the right path and do the right thing. And they're surrounded by all these things and these aspects of the world that just make it more difficult to be in the faith.
So I'm wondering, you know, how do you present faith to teens in such a way so that they could see the connection between how their faith can really help them overcome some of these sensitive issues you're talking about?
Oftentimes, I present situation from both directions. A world, you know, how it would be like without the faith and how it would be with the faith. I would have characters that, for example, like Tana Rose and Gabriel. Well, you have Gabriel and his lifestyle and his love for the Lord and what he does and how he acts and how he responds to certain things, and Tana, how she responds and how she deals with everything. I think the best way to show or demonstrate how faith, how giving yourself to the Lord, how surrendering yourself, how giving your troubles to God, how putting your adversity in his hands or going to him when you're in the midst of struggles, the best way to do that is to show it, to show your life without it and to show your life with it. And you'll see that when we discuss, you know, For Eden's Sake as well, or even Destiny of Sunshine Ranch, there's characters in both areas, characters who don't believe or struggle with their faith and characters who are strong in their faith. You know, in the Destiny of Sunshine Ranch, I had Benedict, who is the main character, who had been moved around from foster home to foster home to foster home and just was basically just struggled with that and just behaved badly, didn't know how to deal with it, felt that, you know, I'm going to be kicked out anyway, so who cares how I behave, and just had this attitude about him. But then he ends up going to Sunshine Ranch, which there are other foster children there, and one of them is Micah, and Micah is in foster care because he's lost his whole family for different reasons. So he basically has no family, and he's strong in his faith. But he's very strong in his faith. And Benedict's like, what are you doing? Why do you have faith? Why do you care about a God? And yet you look at you, you've lost your whole family and you've lost your parents, you've lost your grandfather. And, you know, why are you so full of this love for this God? So again, in order to show a teen the strength of God's love or God's mercy, I need to show a character that doesn't feel it and a character that's against it, so that I can bounce these two ideas against each other and then just the outcome is just, I feel personally, is just more rewarding because you can see what a life is with the Lord, how it can actually be.
Now, as a mother of four, and how much are you drawing from real life experiences, either from yourself or your kids or your kids' friends, when you were writing these stories?
I think that a lot of the earlier stories were drawn out from probably my upbringing and my friends and the people I knew when I grew up. And a lot of, you know, the issues with faith and remaining strong in the faith, they come up with my kids' friends or the people that they, you know, the people that they know, or just bringing up a teen in this world, what it's like to try and, you know, as a parent, how difficult it is, how difficult it is to say, you know what, I see what your friends are doing and I see that you see it. And I see that in a sense you kind of want it, but you have to understand that we're not in this world to be a part of it in some, or not be a complete part of it, because there are certain things that shouldn't be a part of our lives, certain things that we should stay away. You know, you have to teach your kids to guard their eyes, and most kids don't guard their eyes, or their parents don't tell them to, right? There's certain things that they should be reading, certain things they should be watching. My kids are not on social media. My kids don't have cell phones. Just my oldest has a cell phone because he works, and it's not even a smartphone. It's just a communication device, of one of which, you know. So a lot of the experiences that are in my stories are from my past, but yeah, experiences that I deal with and things that I see and around me now.
So one of the themes that maybe one of the most sensitive themes to talk about with teens today is this pro-life message, especially dealing, as you said, with chastity or with pregnancy and abortion. And I know your For Eden's Sake book delves into that. So maybe tell us a little bit about how you address that theme in your writing.
Well, For Eden's Sake came about because I felt that men aren't involved in the pro-life, or but they are involved in it, but they're, a lot of women reject men when it comes to, you know, the abortion issue or the pro-life issue. Who are they to, you know, make any comments or decisions, or it's nothing to do with men, which is just absurd. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense, because the man has to be involved in the whole pregnancy in the first place, and men are fathers and take care of their children. So the whole idea that a man shouldn't be involved in the pro-life issue was just ridiculous. I also had this desire to write about a man who just fought for his unborn child. I just felt that a story of a guy who just loved an unborn baby, loved his unborn baby so much that he would just do anything for it. And I felt that that was something that needed to be experienced by a reader, to see that. Then so that boys or teens or men could read something like this and say, yeah, it's all right for me to feel this way. It's okay for me to be involved in this subject. The whole concept of this began because of that idea. Again, in this story, I have actually two perspectives. I have the main character, Isaac, and I have Rebecca, and she's the pro-choice character. So again, I have the two sides where I have, he's the pro-life, she's the pro-choice, and they're basically battling with their ideals and what's right and what they think is the way to go, and so on and so forth.
Have you gotten feedback from teens, especially on this particular issue and how it's presented?
I have had a lot of responses from teens, guys and girls, who have really enjoyed the story. Honestly, on the girls' perspective, they really just love and admire this male character who is, you know, very strong in his faith again, who's physically strong, and because he's just like this manly character who has a sensitivity of loving this tiny little baby who just desires to keep his little child and will fall apart just at the idea of losing it. And it's, I've had a lot of feedback about that idea and just loving the story.
So let me ask this. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can address these issues with teens. You obviously feel passionately enough about it to make them the main focus of your books. Why is it important for us to, you know, talk about these with our teens? And why is using a fiction story the right way to do it, if there is such a thing as a right way to address this?
Being a teenager is one of the most difficult times of humanity, you know, there's just so much. There's this time when you go from being a kid and not having to worry about certain things to becoming an adult. So there's a lot of, you know, expectations of you. There's a lot of growing up you have to do in that short period of time. And there's a lot of struggles that you go through, you know, like I said, trying to find a way to just fit into a world. And as a Catholic, fit into a world that often rejects you and often rejects your ideals. So, you know, you have a lot of friends that may have opposite opinions to you, or a lot of friends who are trying to encourage you to do things that probably aren't the right thing to do. I think that teens need more help than anyone to navigate this world. They need more help than ever to show them the direction, to guide them in the right way, to lead them along the path of, and I could say, righteousness. You know, they need guidance. And oftentimes kids, whatever, they don't have that. They don't have that in their friends. And parents have a struggle trying to teach their kids the right way because, you know, parents don't know anything, right? Parents are, oh, they're all old. They don't know anything about anything. So having fiction, having a story that basically speaks your language in the way that it lives the issues that you're going through, fiction that discusses the topics that you're struggling with. If you're struggling with your purity, or you're struggling with your faith, or you're struggling with being bullied, or you're struggling basically just being a teenager, then you can pick up a story, a fictional story that has characters that are going through the same thing that you're going through. How do they deal with it? How do these characters deal with what you're going with? And how do they do it in a Catholic way? How do they do it in a way that you should be doing it? How do they include God in it? How do they live their faith in this chaotic world? How do they do it? Maybe if you can see how someone does it in a story, maybe that can help me, you know, maybe that can help another teen in the struggles that they're going through. Maybe they can get some advice through a story. And parents, I don't know how to talk to my teens, right? A lot of parents, I don't know how what to say to them. I don't know anything according to them. They feel like they know everything, or they feel like they can't come to me as a parent. You know, a lot of parents deal with this. How do I help my teen without being this parent telling them what to do? Well, fiction. Here's a story. And then maybe your kids will want to discuss it with you, or you could discuss, hey, how's that book going? How, you know, what's happening? Is it a good book? Or maybe you can read the book too as a parent. Then you'll know what they're reading and you can bring up some discussions. Sometimes teens don't want to talk about the issues they're going through. Sometimes they don't want to mention the struggles because they don't want to tell their parents they're struggling with bullying or something. Maybe the teens can bring up a subject just through the story and get a conversation going with the parents. So, you know, it's almost like the middleman, a way you can talk to your parents or a way you can talk to your kids and talk about certain issues without having to get deep into a personal discussion. Sometimes taking that personal aspect out of it makes it easier to open up to your teen or open up to your parent. So I really feel, honestly, I feel like fiction could just, you know, that fiction influences kids the wrong way. You've seen it in some of the books. I'm not going to mention any books, but we all know the books out there that have encouraged kids to do certain things or behave certain ways or hang out with certain people or do, you know, we've seen how books can negatively influence teens, even adults. But here we can have books that encourage them and guide them the right way and show them the right way. So I am very passionate about fiction and about offering parents and teens fiction that can say, listen, as a Catholic, you are going to face these adversities. You are going to face these struggles. It's inevitable. We live in a flawed world. We live in a world where the devil is literally trying to destroy everything good that God designed. How can you work through that? There is a way. Keep your focus on the Lord. How do I do that? You know what? Why don't you read this story? Maybe this can help. You know, I honestly 100% believe that fiction is just an amazing tool, a wonderful tool. And if it's a good story too, a good adventure, you know, a good laugh, that just adds to it. That's just a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we have places like Catholic Teen Books that are out there, because we need to have the kinds of books you're talking about readily available for parents and grandparents and others, especially because, like you say, I mean, they might not have the kind of relationship where they can have the discussion directly, but if they can introduce their kid to a really interesting book that also touches on these topics, they at least can, you know that, you know, they're getting some of that. So you've given us a really nice overview of some of your writing. If the listeners are trying to figure out, hey, how do I learn more about this author and how do I get a hold of her books, where would you want them to go to do that?
Well, I would love them to go to Catholic Teen Books because there's a wonderful selection of books there. Mine are there too for them to look at and learn about. They can also go to tmgauette.com. That's my website. So they can get a lot more information about my books and reviews and trailers and stuff like that. And you can purchase books at CatholicCompany.com has my books. Good News, is it goodnews.com? What is it?
Yeah, the Good News Book Fair.
Yeah, that's it. The Good News Book Fair. They all have books there that you can purchase from. Usually, like any bookstore, you can get them from Barnes & Noble's too, if you wanted to, or Amazon. But I would like to encourage Catholics to purchase from Catholic companies. So like Catholic Company or Good News. I think that would be great.
Wonderful. Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, TM, and hearing more about your individual books and how people can get a hold of them. And really appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate your time.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. Again, we've been speaking with TM Gauette about writing for teens and writing on some of the sensitive issues that they deal with in their lives. Again, my name is Anthony Barone Kolenk, and you can find out more about me and my writing on my site, AnthonyKolenk.com. But until next time, may God bless us as we rely on our faith to work through the messy challenges of our lives.